My guest at this time is Larry Pratt, Executive Director at Gun Owners of America. We want to get his thoughts as the firestorm continues to rage over comments made first by columnist Jason Whitlock and then NBC broadcaster Bob Costas that the gun culture is one of the things that ought to be blamed for the murder-suicide involving Kansas City Chiefs linebacker Javon Belcher and the mother of his young child over this past weekend. And Larry, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, Greg, thanks so much for having me with you. Appreciate it.
Well, we're going to get your reaction, first of all, to some of the initial comments, essentially written by Whitlock and basically repeated by Costas, and then some of Costas's clarifying comments over the past couple of days. Essentially, the point being made by Whitlock and then Costas in repeating those comments was that guns escalate ordinary conflicts into deadly conflicts, and therefore they make any volatile situation worse. Your response?
I guess I would tell him that I appreciate his pointing out the problem of guns escalating situations, because I'm frequently having to rebuke my own guns and tell them to just chill out and stay in the holster. I mean, that's really silly. To impute some kind of ability like that to a firearm. What he's hoping to do is blame anything or anybody but the criminal who made the decision to be a criminal. In this case, a guy with a troubled past. He'd been in violent altercations in the past. He'd been on allegedly drugs and alcohol abuse, and had apparently whooped up on his significant other on previous occasions. It was a guy with an extremely troubled past, and for whatever reason, nothing was done to intervene until it was too late. And the fact that a firearm was used is really incidental to the fact that this was a train wreck long in the making that could have ended with a baseball bat, a kitchen knife, or any number of other means of killing once his anger had reached the point that he decided he was going to do that. Then, unless she had a gun, which is the big tragedy in this whole thing, she didn't. Had she had a gun, and as he's no doubt from what we think we know, escalating the rhetoric and getting more and more unreasonable as he's yelling at her, if she'd been able to produce a gun and said, look, lover boy, get out of here. I'm calling the cops, and if you make a move, I'm shooting you.
Larry, in the clarifying comments that Costas made Tuesday on the Dan Patrick Show, he made a couple of different points. One was that he says he's not opposed to the Second Amendment. He's not opposed to folks owning a firearm to protect themselves or to engage in hunting activities, for example. He says, though, that he thinks there's too much leniency when it comes to the types of weapons that people have access to and the amount of weapons that people are allowed to accumulate. He basically said that people are allowed to stockpile their own personal militia. What do you say to that?
Well, now he's changing the subject, because what he's saying has nothing to do with the fact that an angry 228-pound all-muscle linebacker was working himself up to a homicidal rage, which he consummated. And the fact that the guy might have had more than one gun, that other people have more than one gun, that's really not the point. The point is, she didn't have a gun, and there weren't enough guns present, and that's something that the anti-self-defense crowd never wants to engage. The idea that a lot of these crimes, in fact, don't happen when the criminal mind realizes that the one thing that causes them pause might occur. Namely, I might get hurt or killed if I commit this crime. And as long as they don't think there's going to be any immediate counter-reaction, because they don't care about jail later on, they're mad right now and they want to kill right now. They're not thinking about the future. These are not future-oriented people. People on drugs are not future-oriented people. People who are abusing alcohol are not future-oriented people. So they just go ahead and do what they bloody well want. And for this guy to say that a stockpile of weapons causes crime is just silly talk. The fact of the matter is, in the areas of our country where the laws make it easiest for people to go about in public carrying concealed firearms, or openly for that matter, sometimes they're allowed to do both by the law, The Constitution says they shouldn't even need a permit. But that aside, those are the areas where the violent crime rates are the lowest. And this guy's got it completely wrong. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And both in the particular case where this woman might be alive today had she had a gun, and the general proposition that more guns means less crime is a statistically researched fact.
Larry, you and I have discussed this many times in the past, but just to clarify for perhaps some of our newer listeners, the flip side of that is the strong gun control laws that we see in a lot of major metropolitan areas. Chicago, perhaps a good example this year with a lot of different murders, where it doesn't seem to have the desired result. Explain why you've explained why having more access to guns reduces crime. Why does the alternative of stronger gun control laws result in more?
Well, it's the very obverse of the fact that more guns means less crime. Less crimes, less guns, then mean more crime. What you do in a anti-self-defense jurisdiction is encourage criminals. You're telling them their victims are not likely to be able to respond effectively to you. So have at them. And so that's been the experience of these anti-gun cities. And it's quite interesting that once, say, the Heller decision at the Supreme Court overturned the D.C. gun ban, their murder rate fell from about, I think at that time it was around 25 per 100,000, down to about 9 per 100,000, which is still above the national average, but obviously a significant improvement. And imagine that. Now, that only lets people in the District of Columbia have guns in their homes. So home invasions clearly have plummeted. What if the court had gone on to say, and your licensing procedure, which is really a ban on concealed carry by another name, is also unconstitutional, and people have to be able to carry legally concealed outside their homes? I'll bet you that the D.C. murder rate would further decline to the national average.
Larry, the last couple of responses you've made seem to contrast strongly with the last comment. I want to get your reaction to what Bob Costas had to say on Tuesday. And he says one of the reasons he holds the position that he does is because he's never seen or heard about an athlete who has stopped violent crime because he was armed, but he's seen far too many examples of what we saw with Javon Belcher in Kansas City. Is that just a matter of what gets reported and what doesn't, or does he have a point?
It's substantially a matter of what does not get reported. There are some 4,000 instances a day when an American uses their gun to stop a criminal attack. And even if the newspapers were so inclined, there wouldn't be room to run them all outside, say, a local area, which actually tends to be the case. If the matter gets reported at all, a self-defense use of a gun is only reported at the at the local level. Only if there's something really spectacular, a guy was shooting people and had several murders bagged already when the armed American came on the scene and took out the mass murderer, that probably would get national coverage. But beyond that, a lot of things just don't even get reported to the police, let alone to the newspapers, because once somebody has chased away a criminal, they don't really want the bother of going to the police and telling them, and I know you can't do anything about this, I can't give you that good an idea what the guy looked like, but this is what happened to me at 3 o'clock at the corner of 1st and Main, and because I was able to pull out my gun, the guy said, oops, excuse me, I have another appointment, and left. Well, that's the nature of most successful firearms defense uses. And that's just not something that the police really can do much about.
Larry, last question. Where do you see this national debate heading? Maybe not so much in the wake of this story, which will undoubtedly fade over time, but given the recent election results and where we just see the debate heading overall in this country.
Well, I think at the local state level, we're seeing more and more progress being made to empower citizens to carry concealed firearms. More and more state legislatures are making it easier and easier for citizens to legally carry concealed. The results have been borne out by the predictions have been borne out by the results, and crime has gone down in those jurisdictions. Admittedly, there are a couple where crime hasn't gone down, and as much as anything, it's because it was pretty low when the changes were made. And my speculation is that people probably were already carrying, whether or not the law permitted them or not. They thought their life might have been a little bit more important than some legislator's notion that they had to jump through certain hoops. So I think we're making headway slowly, and it's at the local, it's at the state level. This has been almost a 20-year walk of state legislature by state legislature, and I think we're now going to see the one of the final frontiers in the next several years being breached, and that is concealed carry as a matter of right, no permit, no bureaucrat looking over your shoulders to whether you should or should not. Four states have laws like that now. Those four states have a whole lot better murder rate than a place like New York City. And I think there'll probably always be a few islands of where they don't trust mere citizens. But I think the general trend is going to continue. State legislatures are going to say, go for it.
Larry, we'll certainly be tracking it at both the state and national level. Thank you, as always, for your time. We appreciate it.
And if I could, one last thing. Let me encourage folks to look us up at gunowners.org on the web. We got a lot of stuff there, including alerts that they can sign up for. Gunowners.org.
Gunowners.org on the web. Larry Pratt is Executive Director at Gun Owners of America. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.